passing on his word right now. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray that you would open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things from out of your word, and that you would open our ears to hear your voice. We thank you this evening, Father, that as we gather like this in the freedoms that we do have to meet together, we thank you, Almighty God, that you come to meet with us in the presence of your Spirit. And we invite you, Spirit of the living God, to minister to people in this place tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Last week, I said, am I mad to believe God, even when it just doesn't seem true? And people I know, like whenever I worked up in Kilcooley, there were guys who used to come in to me all the time, and they would say to me, you know, you're a reasonably intelligent person. They obviously didn't know me that well. But, you know, say, you're a reasonably intelligent person. How come you're so stupid to believe this nonsense? You know, there's no proof even that God exists. And a lot of people think that Christians have what's called blind faith. You know, that we're just gullible, stupid people who would just believe anything. So I asked last week in our series, am I mad to believe, even when it just doesn't seem true? I mean, God had promised Abraham, for example, or Abram he is at this time still, God had promised him that he would give him and his descendants all the land that he could possibly see. And it must have been really hard for Abram to believe, considering Abram was in his 90s and his wife Sarah was in her 80s and they didn't have any wains. Abram questioned God, as you would. How can this be, considering we are childless? And yet God told him one would come from his own body who would be his heir. And as I said last week, taking the song that we played at the start from Eraserheads, it's hard to believe. Sometimes the only thing we can believe is that it's hard to believe. But Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And now and again, as I'm trying to say, the suddenlies of life, the sudden events that befall us, fill us with doubts and fears and unbelief. They make us actually doubt if God has a plan for our lives. But like Abraham, or Abram, we need to have faith and to trust God, even when it doesn't seem true, because God is faithful and will do what he has promised. And so this week, I'm asking in our series, am I mad to believe that God could clean up my mess? Am I mad to believe that God could clean up my mess? And so we're going to read very quickly Genesis chapter 16. I'm going to read the whole chapter very quickly. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abram heeded the voice of Sarah. Bet he didn't take a lot of persuading. Then Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went in to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Then Sarah said to Abram, "My wrong be upon you. I give my maid into your embrace. And when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me." So Abram said to Sarah, "Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please." And when Sarah dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going?" She said, "I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarah." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees." For she said, "I also hear, seen him who sees me." Therefore the well was called Beer Lahai Rai. Observe it. It is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son whom Hagar bore Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. So this is taking us back slightly in the life of Abram. But what a mess. You see, thinking that God needed a helping hand to fulfill his promise, Sarah persuaded her husband Abram, "Look, I can't have any rains. Why don't you go in and have sex with my Egyptian maid Hagar, so that she could conceive a child for us to raise?" Who said surrogacy is a modern day phenomenon? It's not. It has been around for a long, long time. And Abram and Hagar agreed, and Hagar conceived. She fell pregnant. And being pregnant, Hagar despised her childless mistress, Sarah. In other words, "I'm better than you because I can have weans and you can't." And Sarah, in turn, blamed Abraham and told him, "You better sort her out." And Abraham says, "Not my problem, love. You sort it. She's your maid." And then we're told the angel of the Lord appeared. Now, many people believe this to be a theophany, whatever, but believe this to be Jesus. The angel of the Lord appeared to Hagar and told her to go back to Sarah, assuring her that the child that she was carrying would become great. And Hagar declared, "You are the God who sees." Now, she had been getting abused by Sarah, her mistress. But God said, "Go back, submit, go back." And Hagar declared, "You are the God who sees." And at this point, I just want to say this. You know, maybe there are people here or people listening to the podcast who have suffered abuse in some shape or form, or who have been mistreated or experienced injustice. And you've thought to yourself, why does God not do something? Or why did God not do something? Well, believe me, he is still the God who sees, and he will put right the wrong. Hagar bore Abram a son, and they called him Ishmael, as God had required. But what a mess they had made. And all because unbelief and a lack of trust in God made Sarah think that poor God needed a wee help. He needed a wee helping hand. And so Abram, her husband, also bought into this lie. But as Hagar rightly said, God is the God who sees. God saw the mess born out of Sarah and Abram's human self-effort and fleshly ignorance of his will and ways. And yet he graciously drew alongside them to sort it out. I wonder, have you ever thought, my life is a mess and I just don't know how to sort it out? I mean, maybe you've had, or you presently are facing problems in areas of your life, or perhaps one problem that you just can't solve or cope with anymore. A problematic relationship, a health problem, an addiction, or possibly other issues that make you wish you could turn back time and do or say things differently, just so that you could sort out the mess. You see, we humans really aren't very good at this thing called life. We complicate it, we screw it up, we get it very badly wrong, we fumble our way through it, or we just barely manage to live it. And most of us could probably look back at different times or circumstances when we've said or done things and thought, what a complete mess. Maybe someone here in Shiloh or perhaps listening to the podcast is feeling like that right now, feeling like everything in your life is a mess. Well, would it surprise you to hear that God still has a plan for your life? God's plan and God's ways are the very best ways, because he doesn't make mistakes or create a mess. But let me tell you something tonight, and I believe this to be true. God's plan is not about cleaning up your mess. It's your mess, sort of. God's plan is not about coming in like a wee sweeper to clean up your mess. God's plan is about him giving us a new life and teaching us how to do things differently, how to do things his way. See, his plan for our lives doesn't require a wee helping hand from us to have it implemented. It demands complete, unconditional surrender of our lives into his hands as he renews and transforms us. God isn't going to clean up our acts and make our lives happy, clappy, shiny people and sort out the mess that we've made. God is saying, look, I'm taking over. You have to trust me and let me do things my way. And if we love him, he will bring meaning into our moaning and work everything for our good. Am I mad to believe that God could clean up my mess? Can you put that up for me, Keith, please? I'll give you a laugh here. This was sent during the week. Scared the living daylights out of me. Double click it and then drag it across. Anyway, a friend of mine I'd been speaking to a few weeks ago was with her daughter, and they were going through some old photographs. And they came across this one, when we can get it up there on the screen. And it was it was interesting. I showed it to the boys during the week and they had a queer laugh. Look at that. That's me. Am I mad to believe God could clean up my mess? You see, this picture, this photograph was I was at the point in my life where I was beginning to realize I had really made a mess of everything. I felt totally powerless to do anything about it. And on the 4th of July 1984, I cried out to the Lord to help me. And he did. And that night, God didn't come with his wee dustpan and his hoover and his wee cloth to clean up the mess in my life. He came to me and he gave me new life through Jesus. And since then, by his Holy Spirit working in me, the Lord has been transforming me and teaching me to do things his way rather than the old ways that created the mess in the first place. Am I mad to believe that God could clean up my mess? You see, God is the God who sees. He sees that we're not very good at this thing called life. He sees when we're left to our own devices that we end up making a mess of it. He sees that we are weak and that we need help. He saw childless Abram and Sarah, and he saw pregnant, badly treated Hagar, and he helped them to trust him. He sees our circumstances and the situations that we face in life. He even sees people's fleshly self-efforts to have his plan come to fruition in their lives. And fleshly self-effort won't work because God doesn't need a helping hand. He wants a willing heart that yields to him. The Lord even sees people's attempts to live their lives without him. And yet, because he is the God who sees, who knows, and who loves, he reaches out in love, wanting us to invite him to draw alongside, to renew and transform us. You see, the good news about Jesus is that God, who saw the mess made by mankind's sin, sent his son Jesus into the world, not to clean up the mess. He didn't come in here like Mrs. Mops. He didn't come in here to try to clean up sin and make it better. Jesus came into the world not to clean up the mess, but to save us out of the mess and to give us a new life. Jesus doesn't want people thinking they have to come to him and clean up their act first. He says, come to me as you are, and I will put that all away, and I will give you a new life, a brand new life, and I will teach you how to live that life and do things my way, because my ways are the very best ways. Those who believe in Jesus are forgiven for all of their sin, all of the mess, and are born again by the Spirit of God. Those who believe in Jesus are new creations in Christ. Am I mad to believe God could clean up my mess? Absolutely not. However, God's plan is not simply about cleaning up our mess. It's about him giving us new life through Jesus and teaching us to do things his way. Am I mad to believe this? You'd be mad not to. Let's pray. Father, in the name of